Good morning, beautiful people of God. How good it is to be with you the day before we officially mark the start of summer and the wearing of white shoes. How good it is to share with you on this Memorial Day weekend as we honor the men and women who gave their lives while serving this country. How good it is to worship with you and proclaim the good news, not the Washington Post, New York Times, CNN, or Fox News, but the good news of Jesus Christ. I have to admit, I have a bit of righteous indignation this morning. At this point, you may have heard the weekend phrasing of how the church, the actual building, needs to reopen immediately because it, the building, is essential, necessary, and extremely important. Again, I said I have a little bit of righteous indignation. I have to admit that when I heard this, I was incensed as I think of our staff team, our worship teams, our volunteers, and their commitment to serve and be creative in a non-traditional way as they cope with their own grief in these strange times. I have to admit that I was a little bit upset as I watched them continue to give countless hours without a day off, bringing Christ to people and people to Christ. I have to admit, I was quite offended by those phrases as I recalled a text from a very close friend of mine. He had walked through these doors back in July and recently received a phone call from one of you. It was a simple check-in, a prayer for my friend in Maryland. This congregant had no idea the connection between myself and the person on the other end of the line. My friend said to me that he teared up over this beautiful prayer because no one but Cokesbury had called him. And he ended his text with, "This is the church." Throughout this time of sheltering in place, physically distancing, and now slowly moving forward to reopening, with no on-campus in-person worship or gatherings, our prayers for our community, our nation, have not ended. Actually, they have increased as we day by day cry out to God on behalf of others, asking God to give them strength of heart, mind, body, and soul. Yes, the church is essential. The need to serve, to feed, and to physically provide for God's people has increased and not ceased. Yes, the church is essential. And to be clear, we are not the pews. We are not the walls, nor the parking lot, nor the signage. We are the living, breathing, active, growing body of Jesus Christ. That happens to have a building that we are physically distancing. So yes, we are essential, and essential in our task to do no harm, to do good, as we stay in love with God. For several weeks, we have journeyed through the book of Acts, witnessing how the early church, day by day in the midst of chaos, acknowledged that they were children of God. Each of the biblical narratives share a divine commonality. It is interwoven throughout our journey in Acts. We have witnessed the movement of the Holy Spirit within the life among believers. And our passage this morning It is traditionally celebrated as Ascension Sunday. Up until this point, Jesus has around 12 post-resurrection appearances. He appears to Mary Magdalene crying at the tomb, to the other woman returning from the tomb. Christ appears to Thomas, who needed to see Jesus' wounds for himself. He appears to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And though Christ appears one or two more times, we have to remember the mystery of this event. This ascension is much more important than the history. In today's lectionary text, we witness Christ leaving the disciples and us with a promise. Like Easter and Christmas, today is a revelatory moment beyond which the disciples are never the same. A divine promise is made. In verses 7, 8, and 11, the disciples are told a message that entails one unspoken word, not easily understood, comprehended, followed, or even embraced. In this moment, I feel like I'm leading a game of Pictionary or charades. One word that's hard to hear. Wait. If you are willing and able, type or write down this one word, wait. You may be thinking to yourself, okay, Pastor Sheila, in the beginning of our sermon series, we witnessed the movement of the Holy Spirit as God added day by day to their numbers those who were saved by faith and God's grace. Yes. You may be asking yourself, okay, we witnessed the Holy Spirit fill Stephen as he perished for Christ. Yes. You may be asking yourself, we witnessed the Holy Spirit at work in Paul as he invited highly intelligent, educated people to believe in the unknown God, which is known to us. You may be wondering, Pastor Sheila, this lectionary thing has this Acts journey backwards. How come we're hearing about the promise of the Holy Spirit today and not 3 weeks ago? I have to admit, we have a Herculean task as we attempt to imagine the scene that has been set before us. But beloved, sometimes we have to see and hear where we have been in order to understand where we are going and how we will get there. So often in life, we are required to wait. We wait for Christmas, the birth of Christ. We wait for Easter and the resurrection of Christ. Some of the most exciting times in our life involve waiting in anticipation. And this passage is no exception. See, we are invited into this dialogue in verses 6 through 8. Where the disciples ask, Lord, is this the time when you'll restore the kingdom to Israel? And Christ replies, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. Did you catch that? The one hard to hear, unspoken word. I mean, the questions by the disciples seems like a simple, open-ended yes or no. But formulated in Christ's reply, it is not for you to know, triggers an automatic response to wait. But see, Christ does not stop there. He says, you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. to the ends of the earth. Again, did you hear that? The wait. Wait. You're about to receive a gift. Wait. Sometimes it's really hard to wait. See, we have witnessed this gift as we spent time walking through Acts. The gift of power, the gift of guidance to help the early church persevere, the gift that empowers and strengthens, the gift in today's terms where we share the gospel through the technology that we have, reaching all over the community and the world. See, as our faith grows and even as our community expands, we wait in anticipation. We wait with expectation and we wait with eagerness because there is no one worthy enough to wait on except for God. You may recall the social experiments involving children around the age of 5. A marshmallow or some other scrumptious sweet treat is placed in front of them. The child is told, "Do not eat the marshmallow. And if you wait until I get back, you will receive two more." The videos show the kids attempting to wait with this treat sitting in front of them. You can see some smelling the marshmallow, others licking the marshmallow in an attempt to wait and receive the gift of two more. Some make it, but most do not. My parents would tell a similar story about me after Mom baked a fresh cake and it cooled overnight. The next morning, there would be two little fingers, just two, visible in the icing. So even with the promise of a gift or filled with divine expectations, it is hard and inevitable that we will have to wait. I don't even like that word. But that word works with the grace of God. Christ's ascension in verse 9 is mysterious as he is lifted up. It may cause some of us to be skeptical whether we believe this passage is historical or metaphorical. But the fact remains that Jesus's earthly role has come to an end. His influence on humanity and the world will be and is through the movement of the Holy Spirit. You will notice in verse 10 and 11, the disciples are transfixed, gazing into the direction and when Jesus has ascended. And two men clothed in white robes say to the disciples, "This Jesus that has been taken up into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Did you catch that one? Again, wait. The underlying message is to wait. These robed men leave the disciples and leave us with the holy message and the promise that waiting will not last always. The lectionary continues to move us through verse 14, where the disciples return to Jerusalem, and we are left where they have gathered together in the upper room to pray. Within our faith community, sometimes we linger too long staring up at heaven when there is work to be done here on earth. See, Cokesbury, we live together through intense moments of divine revelation, moments of concern and frustration, moments of heartache and pain and depression, moments where we are called to stand together and do what? I can't hear you. Wait. Because even in that waiting, we will never be the same. Yes, the body of Christ is essential. We are a part of this one continuous movement of a grace-filled, loving God. Essentially, the church is not the building. The church is not an isolation of various moments like Christmas, Easter, today, or next week for Pentecost. The church is living and breathing and growing. And because we are the church, as we wait with the love of God on our hearts as we wait. We wait with God's abundant grace all around us as we wait for time to gather in person. As we wait, we will continue to invest in the love that God has given us to give to others. As we wait, we witness today's movement of the Holy Spirit, feeding of our community, the slowly opening up and the jobs people are returning to. As we wait, we wait as humanity, leaning on the everlasting arms and love of God. We will not stop, and we will not cease. We are being called to continue to answer the clarion call to serve our risen and ascended Savior, Jesus Christ, as the living, breathing body of Christ. And so as we wait, we will vow to do all the good that we can. We will vow to do all the good that we can by all the means that we can, in all the ways that we can, in all the places that we can, at all the times that we can, to all the people that we can, as long as we ever can, with a physically distant building. We will turn the world upside down. But for now, we wait. We wait knowing that the Holy Spirit is with us, leading and guiding us. We wait. We wait to celebrate. We wait to hold one another in person. We wait. Just as Christ said to the disciples, "You do not know the time nor the place." But as we wait, church, as we wait for that plan, as we wait for that call to come back, we wait together, standing with one another, leaning on the Lord. Here we are, God. Use us for your glory, because life will never be the same. So do all that you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. Wait upon the Lord. Amen.